So we are currently, as a congregation, we're delving into the Psalms. That's the series that we are in at the moment. Spare one. Okay, let's hope I say all these words now, because I don't have them in front of me. I definitely should say all these words. Okay, so we're delving into the Psalms, and this morning, with it being Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be looking at Psalm 16. Psalms, which this wonderful book of sort of hymns and poems that were written by the Hebrew believers at some point after their exile in Babylon to give them an opportunity and a way to worship the Lord without the temple, which was their usual custom and the usual place and way that they would worship the Lord. And the real heart of the Psalms is this. It comes through in a few places in the Psalms. Can we, if you can see it clearly enough, read it together? May the Lord God of Israel be blessed forever. Amen and amen. And we are delving into these Psalms to find things that are of great value and things that we can learn from and make use of. And today we have Psalm 16. And in your Bible, you may find that Psalm 16 has a little thing within the title which describes itself as a miktam or a michtam of David. Can we all shout michtam?
Michtam.
Michtam of David, which when I see something that I don't understand, takes me down the road of trying to find out what it might mean. One of the best places I could find to explain what this means was from Bible Hub. And it says, the term miktam appears in the titles of six psalms within the book of Psalms. These psalms are attributed to David and often associated with times of distress or danger, reflecting a deep trust in God amidst adversity. The exact meaning of miktam is uncertain, but it is traditionally understood to denote a type of musical or liturgical term, possibly indicating a golden or precious composition, or a mystery or secret. And if you do your own research into miktam, then you will find that there is this sense of preciousness about this. And we know that all of the Word of God is precious, amen? And that all of the Psalms are powerful and precious in their own way. But for some reason, the collators of the Psalms, or David as he wrote this psalm, have decided to denote this one as a michtam. The words are going to be up on the screen, and if you're happy and able to, then please read this psalm along with me. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones, in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So for some reason, this is attributed as a golden psalm. Now, doing an image search for a golden, you haven't got all the words yet. In trying to search an image for a golden psalm, you don't really come up with much. The closest I could find was a golden palm. So that's close enough, right, for today. And one of the reasons I think this is a golden psalm, perhaps even in a way that David didn't understand when he wrote this before Christ was born, is because it is described now as we look through the lens of Jesus. Remember, we talk about looking at the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus, who he is and all he's achieved for us. This is described as a messianic psalm. It's one of the prophetic psalms about Christ that's referred to as a messianic psalm. And some of these psalms can be slightly challenging to clarify, identify. But there's no such challenge with this one. And the reason that there is no such challenge with this one is because the New Testament in the book of Acts specifically quotes it and applies it and tells us very clearly that this psalm was talking about Jesus. It was a prophetic psalm about him. And I don't know whether this is something that Augustine did say or not. There's different theories, but he's often quoted as saying, the new is in the old concealed and the old is in the new revealed. And this is one of those places where we can see that so clearly. And it is in Acts 2 that we find the account that we're going to focus on this morning, where Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. We're a Pentecostal church. Woohoo! And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up, and amongst the sermon, the thing that he said, this is what he said. This man was handed over to you. I'm having trouble again seeing some of the edge of my screen. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. Would you say this? It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter goes on to say this. David said about him, and this is where he's quoting from Psalm 16, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. And here he's expressing unshakable faith. The fact that we can have glad hearts, that we can have rejoicing tongues. You wonder why we sing so much when we gather as Elim Aberystwyth? It's because we've got rejoicing tongues, because we want to declare and express all that God has done for us. But for all of that, it also explains that there is hope for our bodies. Would anybody else, other than me, like a few new aspects to their body? I would like my dodgy knee to be gone so I can play football again. Oh, it's worse than that. No, sorry, that's fine. Well, the good news is that the Bible talks about those who've trusted in Jesus having a resurrection body. Amen? And all things will be made new, and that includes our bodies. And it goes on, Peter, quoting Psalm 16, to say, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Where is your joy? Where do you find your joy? Or where are you seeking your joy? Now, joy is about more than a momentary happiness or a momentary thrill or anything like that. Joy is about peace and fulfillment. And as we go through this day, it's just a serious question for us to ask ourselves is, where are we finding our joy? Because the promise of God is that he will fill us with joy in his presence. And that's not just for now, that is for eternity. Where is your joy? One of the things that Louise and I have found helpful over the last year, Louise started it last year, I've joined in, is listening to on the Bible app, one of the commentaries that helps do a journey through the scriptures. It's called the Bible Recap. And every day, Tara Lee Cobble, who does this this Bible Recap, she asks, you know, what your the God thing that you draw out of the story is, the thing that's for you. But she also keeps saying this, He is where the joy is. And every time she opens up a scripture, she's saying, He is where the joy is. And I want to encourage you that the Lord is where the joy is. And so Peter goes on, and this is where it really gets explained. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. And the descendant who is now on David's throne is not just the king of Israel. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. Goes on to say, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. And so we have Peter helping us to understand that this miktam of David was not just a normal psalm. This was a messianic prophetic resurrection psalm. So it is a resurrection miktam of David. On his notes in the Bible, Albert Barnes says it was such a psalm as it is such a psalm as might be composed at any time in view of solemn reflections of life, death, the grave, and the world beyond. Although they were to be laid in the grave, they would not always remain there, that they would be released from the tomb and raised up to the right hand of God. It expresses more clearly than can be found almost anywhere else in the Old Testament a belief in the doctrine of the resurrection, an assurance that those who love God and keep his commandments will not remain in the grave. Amen? That is the resurrection that we celebrate today. And the amazing thing for you and me is that the same Spirit that was at work raising Jesus from the tomb, raising him from the grave, is alive and at work in our lives today. So we on Friday we remembered the cross and the death and the sacrifice and the price that was paid. Today we remember the resurrection power and the strength and the overcoming that God enables and equips us with. The truth about Christ contained in this psalm is about as golden as it gets, because the resurrection changes everything. Death has lost its sting. Death would set itself up to be the greatest foe, the greatest enemy of mankind. It is the devil's desire to seek to kill and to destroy. But it is Jesus' desire that we may have life in all of its abundance and for eternity. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And in Acts 2, where Peter is standing and delivering his sermon, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is there to empower us to live a godly life and to witness to the good news of Jesus. The great Welsh hymn by William Williams, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, or Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, is often sung at rugby matches in celebration. And we get to sing them with the meaning of the words that we understand them. One of the verses says this: when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. That's the heart of why we celebrate what we celebrate today, as we have Resurrection Sunday together. It's the death of death and the defeat of hell. Oh! Two bingos at the same time. Let's give them a round of applause. Woo! Congratulations. I'll see whether I can find you both a little prize later on. Now what we're going to do is, we're coming to the end of what I've got to say, is we're going to have a little competition between the three sections. So that was good timing for your bingo, or maybe it was planned. Is there another bingo over there? Yay, well done. Can I just have one of those? Mictan, Pentecost, King David, Resurrection, Jordan, Golden, Death, Witness. Hey! You can all say bingo now. Say bingo! You got it. Fantastic. Okay, anyway, there's a competition now to be had between the three sections. And what's going to have to happen is, in a moment when I say go, each section is going to have to find the words for the next verse, which is going to go up on the screen. And I'm going to ask the children to bring those words to the front and put them together in the order of the words that are going to be up on the screen, okay? Now you're asking, where on earth could these things be? Well, some of you, a select few, will find a verse sellotaped to the bottom of your chair. Go! Del, if we could keep the camera, that camera on, so that children are on the screen, that would be great. Hold it up. If you find a word under your chair, hold it up. And children, bring it to the front for the children to put together at the front. Pass them forward. Pass them forward. Pass them to the children. This section are red. Every one of your letters, words should have a red dot on it. This section is yellow. Every one of your words will have a yellow dot. This section is blue. All of your words will have a blue dot on them. Bring them to the front and let's put them together up here. The words are up on the screen for what it is that you want to put together. Elaine, if you could judge, let me know when they finished. Josh, let me know when you're finished over there. Oh, you found one. Where's it? What colour are we? Yellow. Yes, this goes in here. This one. Here we go. Let me get that some way. Put it there. We need some theme music. We're missing an A-R-E. The word R is missing over here. Somebody hasn't checked their chair. Oh, there's one here in the middle. Oh, we've got a countdown now. Oh, sorry, we need the screen back up. Good try. Hey, this team. Keep going. Have we found the missing word? Yes, we've got it. There it is. Come and put it in place. Put it in place. Go on, Daniel. We are... There's still an R missing. A-R-E. There's still a word missing. We found the it. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all. We need an R and an all. Folks, it's got to be there. Have we checked under the front of all the chairs, just under the front ledge? There, down there. Well done, team. Well done, yellow team. Amen. Great, guys. Go and grab your seats. I think these guys had a numerical disadvantage, so well done to them. Well done, you guys. A special congratulations for getting that done. Right, shall we read this all together now? God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Now, for me, the fact that Peter probably and many of the other original witnesses, Peter who said these words and those that were with him that shared as the witnesses, they nearly all died for sticking to the story that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They nearly all suffered death of their own in the face of standing up, why would they have stuck to the story if it wasn't true? They had nothing to gain from lying about having seen the resurrected Jesus. And so for me, this is among the most compelling evidence from Scripture of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We see sources from other places as well. And although you and me, we may not see the physical body of Jesus walking around on earth as those earlier witnesses did, but I want to let you know that this room is full of witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Amen. We are all witnesses to it because of the power of God by His Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that is alive and well and at work in us today. So we celebrate Jesus together. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. Lord, if there are people here who need to understand and know the knowledge of your resurrection power in their lives, I ask that you would open their hearts and their minds to that, that they would speak to the person who's brought them or speak to us and find out how they can begin to put into practice the faith of following in Jesus. We pray that in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.